Muy buenas tardes a todos los que están conectados en esta ocasión.
Good afternoon to all those who are connected on this occasion through the satellite Amazonas and the satellite Eutelsat 8. There, where the missionary Miguel Bermudez Marin is as well. May God bless you, missionary Miguel Bermudez Marin. Where you are in this occasion, there in the congregation that Reverend Hugo Rodriguez pastors, there in Topo Chico in Mexico, and all the brothers and sisters, fellow ministers, at this in time in our age, the age of the cornerstone. Today, Friday, January 24 of this year, 2025, our subject is God's promise to Abraham, which we will be seeing and listening to this conference dictated by Dr. William Soto Santiago on Sunday, March 5 of 2017 in Austin, Texas, United States. He used the scripture of Genesis chapter 17, verse 15 and on, where it tells us, "And God said unto Abraham, As for Sarai, thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. And he writes on the right, Sarah. And I will bless her and give thee a son also of her." There on the left he writes, "Promised son." Yeah, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. Then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed and said in his heart, "Shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear?" And Abraham said unto God, "Oh, that Ishmael might live before thee." And God said, "Sarah, thy wife, shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him." God's promise to Abraham. You may please be seated. On Friday, March 3 of 2017, meaning on that weekend, that Friday before this subject of this Sunday Bible study, he titled it, "It's the Same," and there he had the introduction to this subject, God's promise to Abraham. And he tells us, it was preached on Friday, March 3 of 2017 in San Marcos, he says, "And now we are living in the age of the cornerstone. We are living in the time of the year of Jubilee, of the second part of Abraham's life, of the 100th year of Abraham's life. And the 100th year was the second year of Jubilee of Abraham's life, that is, the second cycle of Jubilee year of Abraham's life." In the message, Victory Day, it tells us, on page 24, it says, "Of which there is a writing here that he had in this same message, but in English, on full pages, it was in English, and there, in this portion that I'm going to read in Spanish, he writes some notes there. And he says there, our brother Branham says, we will see the writings later on. And he says, he's proved it, Abraham says. He proved it to me. I was childless. I was an old man. I was sterile. And my wife's womb was dead. And she was 65 and I was 75. But God said, I'm going to give you a baby by her." That settled it. That was all there was to it, Abraham said. I believed it. Then God throwed him into 25 years of trial. It didn't mean a thing to Abraham. He come out stronger than he was the first place, still giving praise to God. No doubt God looked down and said, "What a servant." Satan said, "Oh yeah," said he, "but I will prove that he loves me. Take him up there, to the top of the hill, destroy the very evidence. Take him up there. And Abraham went up to do it. That's right. Now, he writes there in that paragraph, in the English one, he writes there, on the right, Sarah, a dash, 65, Abraham, a dash, 75, 75 years and 65 years. And he also writes, every 50 years is a jubilee. The promised son came in Abraham's second jubilee. And he also draws two little cornerstones, and he writes 50 and 50. And to the left on that paragraph, he also writes, for 25 years, he awaited the fulfillment of the promise, of the coming of the promised son, and he draws a cornerstone. When you add 1977, which was when he had said, he had prophesied that in 1977 would put an end to the Laodicean age, and notice that that promise is fulfilled there. After that time, that was where he was to carry out everything. But notice, at that time there, that gap opened up where God was going to call all those living stones pertaining to the age of the cornerstone, because that age was not built, that part relevant to the most holy place. Now, look, he also writes there, above he writes, Sarah, and he writes, rejuvenated. Sarah, he writes Sarah with an H there. Sarah with a living womb equals the church bride to conceive the promised son, which is the second coming of Christ. And he also writes Sarah and the dead womb equals the church that can no longer conceive. Now, a little further on, he, our brother Branham, continues to say there, and Abraham, when he started to take his child's life, the Holy Spirit grabbed his hand. Now, he writes there, notice, he writes, the angel of the Lord is the Holy Spirit. Said Abraham, stay your hand. I know you love me. Amen. That's the kind of person that I want to be. Love God regardless of what it takes place. Stay your hand. Give you the trial where it's even against your own thinking. But as long as the word said so, do it anyhow. See? Notice. What a teaching. Stay your hand. I know that you love me because you've not even withheld your only son from me. Said, blessing, I will bless you. Said, his seed shall stand in the gate of the enemy. He will conquer. Oh my, he did too. A little later, we're going to get to that seed of Abraham there, and he writes there, on in the English one, he writes, I have the keys of hell and of death. Alright, what did? Doubts have gone from Abraham when he heard the real word, doubts left. When he seen God vindicate the word, doubts left. Love took its place. I know you love me, Abraham. What took its place? Love. Remember that it is the victory that is obtained at this time, the great victory in divine love. You don't doubt me a bit. No matter how long you had to wait, you still believed me. I ask you to destroy the very evidence I have given you, give you the evidence, then ask you to destroy it. And you love me so well, you keep my word regardless of what it is. Amen. That was a real V-Day for God, see? Now, our brother William goes on to say here, in the excerpt that we are reading of the message, God's promise to Abraham. Now, we can see why he had to wait so long, but he didn't despair. He waited with patience, knowing that the one who had made the promise was mighty to fulfill what he had promised. And that is why he appeared to him later on, before he reached the age of 100. When he was 99 years old, he appeared to him for the last time to give him the good news that the next year, the promised son would already be with him. In the message, the stature of a perfect man, on page 24, it says, Abraham believed that, and when he was 100 years old, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. Here on the right of in this book, this booklet, our brother William draws a cornerstone and the ages, and he only divides the seventh age. That is he draws two cornerstones and two bottom parts of the part of the ages, and he only divides the seventh part in both. And in the first one, in the seventh age, he writes 49, and on top he writes 50 in the cornerstone. And on the one to the right, where he also draws a cornerstone in the ages, he writes in the seventh age 99, and on top in the cornerstone he writes 100. Look how ridiculous that word looked. Here's a man 100 years old looking for a baby to be born into his home by a woman 90 years old. See? Almost 50 years passed bearing, lived with her since she was a young girl or teenage girl. And here he is, his life stream was dead, and Sarah's womb was dead, and all hopes is gone as far as it was hopes. But yet, against hope, he believed in hope because he had knowledge that God was able to keep everything that he promised. On the left, he writes, knowledge. And above, he writes, Abraham had science equals knowledge. Now, when you got it like that, then add that to your faith. When you got true virtue, add it to your faith. When you can walk on the street and live like a Christian, act like a Christian, be a Christian, then add that to your faith. When you have knowledge, you say, well, I don't know now whether this scripture is just right. That's what happened to Abraham there. Though in human terms, it didn't make sense, but notice, he believed it. Now, here is Acts 2:38. I don't know how to go about it with Acts 28:19. I don't. All right, you don't add nothing, because you ain't got it yet, see? What are you going to do? Because you haven't got knowledge enough to know of God yet, that the Bible does not contradict itself. Leave it alone. Don't say no more about it, see? Leave it alone. But when you can see that the scripture is not contradictory, that you can say that and can see that by the revelation of God, the whole world is wrote in mysteries, and only the knowledge of God can reveal it, then when you get and say and punctuate every word of God with an amen, then add that to your faith. What a tremendous declaration. There on the right, he draws a cornerstone in the ages. Oh, you're getting to be a pretty good man right now, see? You're coming up, see? What with? With faith, then with virtue, then knowledge. See how it's building this man? You can see there is no way escaping it. This is the way to become in the full stature of Christ. Yes, sir. And he writes to the left, upwards, God's knowledge reveals the word. It's not man's knowledge, it's not man's interpretation, but rather God's knowledge. Now, our brother William goes on to say here, that's good news for Abraham, a 99 years old elderly man, for which he had to be rejuvenated, transformed, and Sarah, being 89 years old, also had to be transformed because her time to have children had already passed. Who would expect an 89-year-old elderly woman to have a child? Anyone would have to say she has to be transformed, she has to go back to being young to expect to have a child. On page 138 of the Book of Quotations, it tells us, paragraph 1235, the translation of the bride will be the same thing. The word that it's in you, the body will materialize around that word, and the same thing did by Sarah. Above that, he writes, in the word, the body will materialize transformation. And he writes, Abraham and Sarah. At the end of transformation, he writes, and rapture as well. In the word, the body will materialize transformation and rapture, Abraham and Sarah. And below that paragraph, he writes, the promise of the promised son transformed Sarah and Abraham, and the son came. Notice what transformed them? The promise. And what came after that? The fulfillment. The son. Now, our brother William goes on to say here, that's what happened to Sarah and Abraham. They were transformed, rejuvenated, with the coming of the Lord there among them, when he appeared to them and said, next year you will have, the sun will come. In other words, the coming of the Lord the day before the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah was also a great sign for the coming of the promised sun. On page 164 of the Book of Quotations, paragraph 1462, it says, I remember that up here in Twin City, I think Brother Brown and them was with me, and I was taking the life of Joseph in the Bible, and I read that Bible. There was a man there was nothing against, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and all of them had something against them, but not Joseph. What a man, a perfect type of Christ, said, God, I want to thank you for a man like Joseph. And right then, the Holy Spirit revealed to me. Who revealed it to him? The Holy Spirit. Notice that when he writes there, that angel, where the scripture says that the angel that stopped his hand, and there he says, Holy Spirit, said, and you'll call his name Joseph. Who told Brother Branham to name his son Joseph? The Holy Spirit. The same one who told Mary back then to name the son that Mary would have, Jesus. Now, here, notice, he says to him, all right, then the Holy Spirit revealed to me, said, you'll have a son and you'll call him Joseph. I got up from there and thanked the Lord. And I remembered that Brother Branham's son is a type and figure of the second coming of the Lord. And I remember, 4 years later, my wife, we knew we was going to have a baby. When it was born, it was Sarah. 4 years passed, finally, she was going to be a mother again. I went up the mill to pray, and I started there. There stood that light hanging between two trees. It said, go back to your, where? To the book. I went back to the Bible, and while it, and been laying in my car, and when it did, the wind had blown it over to where Nathan was sitting, and David said, "Go tell my servant David, I took him from that sheepcote, from feeding those few sheep of his father, and I made him a great name like the great man." Not all the greatest name, but just like a great man. Never made him a Billy Graham, but I give him a name, you know, said, I done that, but said, I can't let him build the temple, but his son. And just as soon as it said, his sons, oh my, there it was. I said, Joseph, that's right. I run, throwed my arms around her and said, honey. And he writes above honey, he writes meta equals bride. Joseph is coming. And above he writes Jesus. Joseph is on his road. And he draws a cornerstone and the ages and an arrow towards the cornerstone. And on the left, he also writes, he draws a cornerstone and the ages down there at the end of that sentence. And above that paragraph, he writes, construction of the temple, David and his son, Solomon. And he also writes, Joseph is coming. And he writes, beloved, equals Christ for the second time. Joseph is coming, and above he writes, beloved, equals Christ for the second time. Meta equals the church bride will have a son, the one of the promise. Now notice how all that revelation is opened by the divine knowledge that he is giving us to know all those scriptures and see them in their fulfillment at this end time. Now, our brother William goes on to say here, and for those who are going to be transformed at the end time, the church made up of the believers in Christ, we find that they have the promise of being transformed and taken with Christ to the marriage supper of the Lamb, for which they come up to the age of the cornerstone. They go up to the divine cycle of the year of Jubilee. Just as it happened, in order for Abraham and Sarah to have the child, they had the child on the year of Jubilee, the 50th year, the second 50th year of Abraham's life, which is the 100th year of Abraham's life, in which all the believers in Christ in the age of the cornerstone are represented. On page 7b of the Book of Quotations, in the paragraph 72, or 62, I correct myself, paragraph 62, it says, and now we have seen the placing of the gifts into the church, and above he writes, a ministry, prophet, fourth Elijah. And now, what we are seeing next? God manifests himself in flesh, discerning the very thoughts of the heart, exactly what Jesus said would come to pass. And the next thing is the changing of the body to receive the promised Son. And there he draws on the right a cornerstone and the ages, and on the left, upwards, in two sentences, he writes, the promised Son, the son of Abraham. And below, he also writes, Sarah, the changed church. Let's see here. Sarah, the church, the church's body changes from old, parenthesis, Pentecostal, to young, parenthesis, bride, and she gives birth to Isaac, the son of the promise, the son of Abraham. I will read it again. Sarah, the church's body changes from old, parenthesis, Pentecostal, to young, parenthesis, bride, and she gives birth to Isaac, the son of the promise, the son of Abraham. Above that paragraph, he also writes the transformed body. Now, our brother William continues to say here, Abraham had two cornerstone ages. in the second one was the one when he had the promised son. And the believers in Christ at this end time, they have the age of the cornerstone, the age of the year of Jubilee to receive the blessings promised for the year of Jubilee at this end time. For this reason, let's hold on tight to Christ. Let's be spiritually prepared. Let's prepare our soul, our spirit, and our body to be ready to receive our transformation soon. We don't know what year, but we know it's soon. We know that it's for the age of the year of Jubilee, the age of the cornerstone. On page 16, in the paragraph 118, it tells us, I believe and can prove that the right mental attitude toward any divine promise of God will bring it to pass. Yes, sir, the right mental attitude. But you've got to have the right attitude. The attitude is what brings the results. If you say, yes, yes, I believe it, but I don't know now, that is not the right attitude. The right attitude is to receive it and say, it's thus saith the Lord. Then it's right. Above, there, above the, in the first sentence, where it says, I believe and can prove that the right mental attitude, there, above, he writes, positive. And on the right, he draws a Star of David there. And on top, he writes, one's mental attitude towards the promise will fulfill it. One's mental attitude towards the promise will fulfill it. The mental attitude of every elect of God towards the promise of transformation will fulfill it. Now, if it's not the right attitude, he will not be transformed. Now, our brother William continues to say here, we cannot live from there to another age. That is where we will receive the faith, the revelation to be transformed and taken with Christ to the marriage supper of the Lamb. That is where we will receive everything that we need in order to be ready to be taken with Christ to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And just like on the day of Pentecost, in an age of the cornerstone, there was a spiritual transformation in those who received the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. And during that apostolic age, they were receiving great blessings and spiritual transformation, where they obtained the new birth. In the age of the cornerstone, at the last day, they will receive the physical transformation that did not take place in the days of the apostles, because back then, it was the spiritual transformation that would take place until this end time. On page 105 of the Book of Quotations, on paragraph 916, it tells us, Jesus cared enough for the message of today to bring these same things to pass, as he said, till he died and rose again to send them by the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, to show his ministry today that he is still alive. He cared enough. Won't we care? That's the thing. Won't we care? He died for this ministry. He died in order that the Holy Spirit could be here in this day to show these things. He cared for you. He cared to bring it here. He cared to make the statement. He cared because he loved you. He cared enough to do it, to send the Holy Spirit to this, make this ministry today. And there, above that paragraph, 916, he writes, Jesus cares about the fulfillment of his promises. Jesus cares about the fulfillment of his promises. Now, look, on page 101 from the book of the 70 weeks of Daniel, which is the 118 in the version that you have, but in this one is page 86 to 87. It's laying back in that condition, and that only shows that this is just a period of time, can't you see it? God doesn't have things out of order, and on the left he draws a Star of David. He's just letting it run like that for a little time, and I truly believe that that thing was done. And at this last day is when God is going to reveal these secrets to the church. He hasn't done it before, and the reason he hasn't done it, it is to keep the church a watching and praying all the time, not knowing when it was coming. But you remember in Daniel 12, he said, "The wise shall understand in these last days. And he draws a Star of David to the right. See, it's been given to him. The spirit of wisdom comes into the church to make known to the church by the revelation of the Holy Ghost, bringing the church in and revealing what day that we are living in. And he draws a cornerstone and the ages and an arrow towards the cornerstone on the right. Just the same as Gabriel came to Daniel, the Holy Spirit comes to the church in the last days to reveal these great, deep, secret things. Do you understand now? And there on the left upwards, in two sentences, he writes, Gabriel equals came to Daniel. The Holy Spirit equals comes to the church. Now, he goes on to say here, in this other message titled, The Firstborn and His Blessing, preached on September 11 of 2002 in Monterrey, Mexico, where that year a ministry began there. Now, notice, he says, just like in the midst of the earthly Israel, God sent his angel, the angel of the Lord, in human flesh. But now we wonder, and will there be a virgin like the Virgin Mary who will give birth to that Son of Christ? Yes, of course. That virgin is the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. On page 156, paragraph 1396, it says, which is an excerpt of the message, the God of this evil age. I also have the message here. Of that portion that is in the book of quotations, it says, page 156 and paragraph 1396, which is page 37 of the message, the booklet. But in obedience, this little faith woman that lives by faith, the bride, the person here, there, here, of somewhere else, some other church, some other denomination, whatever it is, in some not believes the word of God, obedient, waiting in love for the promise of the age to be confirmed. She is watching for it. She is part of that word, and she is watching for her. For her life to manifest that word, brethren, can you see that? I hope that that didn't go over you. The body is waiting for, which is the word, waiting for the life, which is the spirit. And there, on the right, he draws a cornerstone and the ages and an arrow towards the cornerstone, and he writes, in flesh, which is the spirit, to confirm or make it alive. That's what she is waiting for. No other life will work in her. She cannot come to life any other way. Yet she feels it out there. She knows it's going to happen. Then, here it happens. Then, she wakes up. And he draws a little cornerstone on the left. God said, let there be. And she came forth like the first one come forth. There, above that part that's on the right, on that paragraph that continues, above, he writes in the margin, for the Spirit to confirm it, make it alive. And he also writes, waiting, like Ruth. And in paragraph 1396, that paragraph above that paragraph at the beginning, it says, waiting for the promise of this age to be confirmed. And he also writes there, for every age and dispensation God has, and an ellipsis there. There, also in Waiting in Love, where it says obedient, waiting in love, on the left he draws a Star of David and another Star of David to the right. And on the part where it says on top to the right, where that paragraph continues, it says, no other life will work in her, she cannot come to life any other way. There on the left, he also draws a cornerstone and the ages. Now, notice here in the booklet, he also writes there, upwards, the bride waiting for the life, the Spirit incarnate, the bride waiting for the life, the Spirit incarnate of the Word. Because he writes, the bride waiting for the life of the Word, and next to it, he writes, the Spirit incarnate. That is why he writes in flesh there in the book of quotations. Now, on page 27 here of this book of quotations, he writes there, he fulfills every promise through his church in the third dispensation, and he draws a cornerstone and the ages. He fulfills every promise through his church in the third dispensation. And he also has a writing here on page 45. He also writes there, what the bride is awaiting for God to confirm, to fulfill the promise of this age. And he draws a cornerstone. What the bride is awaiting for God to confirm, to fulfill the promise of this age, and he draws a cornerstone. Our brother William continues to say, in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, and through the church of Jesus Christ, is where the sons and daughters of God are born. Therefore, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ of the end time would give birth to that Son of Christ, because Christ, through his church, reproduces himself in sons and daughters of God. On page 107 of the book of quotations, on paragraph 933, it tells us, because it was revealed to him what the great truth of Christ was. And today people say it's a denomination. It's Jesus Christ, the new birth revealed in you, that he has the preeminences, that he might express his word, and anything that he's promised in these last days, he can bring it to pass through his body as he is working. There on the left, at the bottom, he draws a cornerstone and the ages, and to the right, in the margin, he draws a Star of David, and he writes, last days. And above, he writes, the new birth. He fulfills every promise through his body. The new birth, he fulfills every promise through his body. Now, those 25 years, notice, are fulfilled. Notice, from 74 to now, already from 75, starts from that decade of 2000 already, around 2000 and 2002, and all of that, those are very important dates in which something was happening in the midst of the church. Now, the word which was brought by Reverend William Branham, which was spoken to the church bride, notice, that word of promise was also being fulfilled in him, which was spoken to the church bride, and because that word was spoken, well, then it had to be materialized. The fulfillment of a promise cannot come unless that word is spoken. Therefore, the son could not have been born before the word was spoken to the church bride. Therefore, he had to be born after the word of Reverend William Branham was spoken. That's why he said, I won't die of an old age until he's here. Who? That word son who would be born to the church. Therefore, he had not been born yet because the word had not been spoken to the church bride yet. See what divine knowledge is? Now, and he was born 9 years later. Now, notice, in a writing, he also tells us here, on page 29 of the notes, here in the book of quotations, he writes, he fulfills every promise through his bride. Now, our brother William continues to say here, and now, this is what it means to be born in the kingdom of Christ at the end time. This firstborn of Christ would be born in his church, the heavenly Israel, in the book of the ages. It tells us, on page 171 in English, here is on page 186, and it tells us there, the first son, Adam, was the spoken seed word of God. He was given a bride to reproduce himself. That is why the bride was given to him, to reproduce himself, to produce another son of God. But she fell. She fell by hybridization. She caused him to die. The second son, Jesus, also a spoken seed word of God, was given a bride like as was Adam. But before he could marry her, she also had fallen. She, like Adam's wife, was put to the test whether she would believe the word of God and live or doubt the word and die. She doubted, she left the word, she died. There on the left he draws the ages. In this other book above, where it says, the second son, Jesus, also a spoken seed word, and above he writes, Theophany, and on the right he writes, Jesus. From a little group of the true seed of the word, God will present Christ with a beloved bride. She is a virgin of his word. She is a virgin because she knows no man-made creeds or dogma. There on the right, he drew a cornerstone and the ages and an arrow towards the cornerstone, and he writes, bride. And on the left of where it says, from a little group, on the left, here in the blue one, is where he draws or writes the second Mary. He goes on to say, by and through the members of the bride, and there in the left he writes, by the bride, will be fulfilled all that was promised of God to be made manifest in the virgin. And above that he writes, a word son. And in this other book he writes, tent cathedral. And here, in the red book, he writes upward, God made flesh. The word of promise came to the Virgin Mary, and that word of promise was He Himself. And here in the blue one he writes, Mary equals the bride. To be made manifest, God was manifest. He Himself acted at that time and fulfilled His own word of promise in the Virgin. It was an angel that had brought her the message, but the angel's message was the word. And on the side, he writes, Gabriel. But the angel's message was the word of God, Isaiah 9:6, and he writes on the left, Jesus equals his angel. He fulfilled at that time all that was written of him because she accepted his word to her. There in that paragraph is where he writes upwards, God made flesh. Now, notice, our brother William continues to say, in other words, he would obtain the new birth, he would be born into the kingdom of Christ, and that heavenly theophanic spirit that gave John the revelation of the book of Revelations, called the angel of Jesus Christ, would be in human flesh, manifested in a veil of flesh, and then he will be manifested in a glorified body of flesh, glorified flesh, which will be the new body that he is to receive at the last day, when he is adopted. Remember that the transformation depends on the adoption and upon the adoption. And he used to tell us that the adoption is one thing and the transformation is another thing. Therefore, no messenger was transformed being alive. Because notice, the only one besides Jesus, whose work continued and who later resurrected after 3 days was Jesus. And then the second one is that dispensational angel messenger whose work keeps on, and his body, notice, returns. He says there in Revelation 11 that they will stand upon their feet. Notice that ministry was already adopted there. And notice how he returns there the same way as Jesus returned, but then with an eternal and glorified body. None of the messengers fulfilled that word, that scripture. Therefore, that word son is in the midst of the church at this end time, as simple as that. God's promise to Abraham. Let's stand up and thus leave in this subject God's promise to Abraham, our dear brother and friend, Dr. William Soto Santiago.